today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I can't tell you how many people have told me in person, online, whatever, that Jason's music saved their life.
Hey, everybody. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. Happy to present to you an interview today, the first part anyway, with filmmaker Tommy Nikoloff. He joined Scott Parks and I recently to discuss his documentary film on the early life and musical career of Jason Molina. Before we start today's episode, I just want to tell everybody very briefly that the deadline for May 2026 new music is Tuesday, June 16th. So please get those submissions in, create a voice file, attach it to an email, and send it to rock@suburbspod.com. So we're very much looking forward to doing that next week. Now, I will say this right at the top. The name of the documentary is not one you're going to hear too much in the interview. The reason being, the title is You Fuckers Figure It Out, a Jason Molina story. So you will maybe hear us refer to YFFIO within the recording. So we're going to dive into the conversation. I have the big reel-to-reel threaded up, and we're going to play that for you. And I want to thank Tommy very, very much for his time. So with that, let's jump right into the interview. You'll hear me kick it off with a question for Tommy, and I hope you enjoy. A special episode. We have a guest with us, along with a voice you'll be familiar with in the form of Scott Parks. Scott, thank you very much for setting this up. And why don't you introduce who we're going to be talking to today?
Yeah, well, thanks, Patrick. It's been a while since I've been on the pod. I've been on the radio here for a while, off and on for the last few years, but I've been on the pod for a while. But yeah, I've had the pleasure of talking today to a friend I've recently met on the internet who has a movie that he's out there shopping around and trying to get into the some of the festivals, film festivals, and we have with you the director, editor, producer of the film You F Figure It Out. I don't know if we want to curse or if we just need to edit it out, but YFFIO is also the short, and we have with you Tommy Nikoloff.
Thank you, fellas. So great to be here with you. I really appreciate it.
Tommy, thanks for very much for coming on. And I wonder if I could start by asking you, for those in our listening audience, and there may be some, Scott, right, who have a cursory knowledge of Jason Molina and the stuff he has done. But Tommy, where would you say to someone who maybe has only heard his name or maybe very slightly familiar with sort of the legacy of Jason, where would you characterize his music? How would you put it sort of in the broad spectrum of what is out there over the past 30 years?
Well, as you know, let's start off nice and easy, Patrick. That's
he threw you a softball right off the top.
It is a fascinating question, though, and it's kind of to answer in reverse, like from the point of legacy. You know, we're seeing a real revival. You can't even call it a revival now because it's picked up so much steam with this alt country movement.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were calling it that 25 years ago. But like so many genres, that happens after the fact. And then we even get so obsessive about these labelings. It's like, I don't even want to talk about a label. But this alt country thing seems to make sense, right? And yeah. I would say Jason's been doing that since at least the Magnolia Electric Company album. But he started off as a metal kid. Then it was punk metal crossover. And then it's leaned into more punk. Then he switches over into like a Will Oldham, Americana, folk, whatever the hell it was. And it just kept developing. So it's, you know, it's really, it's all over the place. And as Scott and I were talking previously, is like, you can't say that you don't like Jason Molina's music. Like, there might be a song that doesn't connect with you somehow, or an album that doesn't connect to you somehow. But if you go find another one, there's so many portals of entry. You can't miss.
You know, there is a note here in the materials you have for the documentary that states still 300,000 monthly listeners on Spotify alone for Jason Molina's music. So I would say, you know, to those listeners to our podcast who maybe have heard him, I, you know, or don't know that much about him, I would say he's right up your alley. He's going to be, you know, for you, if you take a dive into this, one of those artists that, you know, maybe just, right, Scott sits a little below the surface of what we normally listen to, but is really in the pocket for what a lot of people would love. Yeah.
Well, and I know members of this community, a lot of members love Neil Young, which Neil Young was a person who Molina, you know, I wouldn't maybe say idolized, but really looked up to and tried to do some of the things, same things musically, especially in the second half of his career. And then a lot of listeners would love Ozzy Osbourne and that metal side. And he also love that. And you know, when we were just talking together, Tommy and I, we were talking about how metal doesn't always have to be hard and fast and heavy and yep. and whatever. Sometimes you can have a song that is quiet that feels metal, and it maybe doesn't sound metal, but it's got metal in it. And metal was always kind of flowing through Jason's songs. So I think there's something in a lot of his songs that our community could grab and gravitate towards. And like Tommy said, if you don't like one, if you just go to the next album, you never know what you're going to find. One of his later yeah. albums, Josephine, is literally like Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. It's straight up Americana. It could potentially be something that would be popular today, but then you look at Ghost Tropic, which came out in I think it was 2000, and it's sparse and it's dark, and you know, it's one that you want to listen to when you turn the lights out and you're just, you know, kind of chilling out. So there's just stuff all over the place, but there's something for everybody, and it's welcoming. He was a Midwesterner at heart, and he was welcoming to everybody.
I turned your life so upside down. I don't know how you stayed or why. Looking always over my shoulder, exactly what I wanted to find was already mine. Josephine, Josephine. But I saw the horizon, and I had to know where it all ends. I lived so long with the shadows, Lord, I became one of them. Oh, what a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been, Josephine. Josephine. Now I take the hand I took for granted and set it free. Oh, what a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been, Josephine.
If you have a heart in your chest,
yes,
you're getting it right. Like, I can't tell you how many people have told me in person, online, whatever, that Jason's music saved their life. Right. And, you know, it's so often described as sad. I prefer to think of it as deep. Right. But yeah. He accesses so many things that are sometimes difficult to access on your own.
Yes.
And people find a sense of camaraderie and connection in that. And, you know, I've talked to people who have lost a loved one who are dealing with drug or alcohol abuse or depression and anxiety, and he is their refuge. You know, he's still here doing the work.
So, Tommy, you grew up with Jason, right? You knew him since you were students and young kids together, and you have a very, you know, you have an interesting story. I'm very fascinated by this about sort of how you came to suddenly decide to, maybe not suddenly, you'd probably been in your mind for a long time, but you suddenly turned to art and filmmaking. So tell us a little bit about the germination of the movie and what, you know, got you to the point where you decided to, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this thing together, right? It goes back a few years, it sounds like.
It goes back 54 years to the day I was born. I mean, this Jason's music is a lot about geography. You know, Scott had mentioned, you know, the Ohio Midwest kind of thing. And, you know, Jason and I grew up in a steel town that, you know, except for our youngest years, its best days were behind it. And as pretty much the entire Generation X was coming up, we watched all of that fading. And, you know, from a town that in the early 1900s was attracting people from across Eastern Europe, part of the Great Migration as African Americans were escaping the South and Jim Crow, people coming north from Kentucky and West Virginia and all of Appalachia for work in the steel mill, World War II happening, and Puerto Rico becoming a territory, made the international city that is Lorain, Ohio. It is a place where the American dream was born, and our generation got to see that die. And in that, as that's happening, no one's giving a damn about art. Because all you had to do was maybe graduate high school and you've got a job with a pension. You can get the house and the car and the 2.5 kids and live that American dream, right? And none of that was available to us. And I'm not going to speak for Jason, but, you know, leaving is a big recurrent theme. Getting out is a big recurrent theme. I really want to do, like, I want to do a search, like, of Get Out and Leave, because I have this sense that he eventually discovers you can't. That's always where you're from is always going to be with you.
So you hear that in his music too, Tommy.
Lyrically,
constantly goes back to Blue Factory Flame. He goes back to, you know, the Erie, you know, Lake Erie, sitting along the shore, listening to a Cleveland game. Like, it's always there, even when he left, even when he wasn't there. It was always drawing him back, if not physically, at least emotionally. It was drawing him back.
Yeah, definitely not physically.
Right.
I think the only time that he returned that I'm aware of was for his mother's funeral.
Wow. Got it.
I mean, once he, you know, Oberlin, Ohio is where Oberlin College is 8 miles away from me. Like, that was out. That was getting out, right? It was 8 miles or 12 miles away, but it's a completely different world. But so back to your original question, Patrick, is like, you know, Jason was a person, not just me, but like, I know firsthand, like, at least 10 people that Jason was always the person encouraging other people to make their art, whatever that may be. And that's what he was for me. And so but I never really took his advice, and you get, like, he didn't even have to say anything. Like, you could just look at the expression on his face. And even the last time I saw him in 2002, he's like, "So you making any art?" And I'm like, "No." Wow. And he would never berate you, but just his face was enough to, like, be like, "Oh man, I really screwed up. I'm letting him down," you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of wild, but, you know, that after he passed, that voice came back. And in a very real way, it came back through my cousin, Christy, who is director of photography of the film. And, you know, I sent some cousins Jason's song, Leave the City, and She called me almost exactly for the length of that song and said, you knew Jason effing Molina?
Wow.
Right? And, you know, he graduated. He's 2 years younger than me. He graduated with my younger sister, Lisa. He graduated with my ex-wife, Jenny, who knew him from the age of three. And so, like, we'd, you know, and we'd overlap for many, many years. She says, so why are we not making a documentary? And we started.
and to me, it's
such an amazing American story, too, when you read about the things that Jason did when he was creating art for himself. I mean, he would make apparently little boxes of things that he found, right? Little shadow boxes of stuff that he would find by Lake Erie or just in the woods and things. When you started making the movie, did you begin to discover anything that was revelatory to you that you didn't know already about him? Or did it kind of feel like it was there for you to just put the pieces together?
So Todd Jacobs, that like I consider that there's a Jason Molina era that's defined by Todd Jacobs, right? I've known Todd since I was 9 or 10. His dad was our soccer coach. So I knew Todd long before I knew Jason. But Todd was in Chronic Insanity, Jason's metal band, Spine Riders. He played in two other bands, Green and Bleem, with Jason, and then the first few recordings of Songs Ohio. So that's like one of the many eras, right?
Yeah.
So I knew a lot of these guys. You know, we were all very familiar with each other. We played on the soccer team together. We went to school together. And I think in the spirit of your question is like, you never know what's going to become of significance. The quirkiness, the humor. Jason was super smart too. Like, it's like you just, but there's a lot of kids like that. At the same time, some other people stand out and you just know that there's something special about them and you know that they're going to do something of some significance, even if it's just get a really good job, right? Like,
right.
And he had that. I think so much reflection on his life and legacy has to do with calling something sad instead of calling something deep, or, you know, focusing on the heartbreak. And the guy I knew was the goofiest son of a gun I've ever met in my life, right? And he was funny and he loved penis jokes and, like, he's a fantastic fine artist, but like that punk stuff, like it was just loose. Like, I'm going to draw it. Boom. I drew it. Here it is. Put it on a flyer, stick it on the telephone pole, you know, put it up at the guitar shop, put it up at the skateboarding shop, whatever it is. As Scott was saying about metal, like there's so many ways to express metal, the metalness of music and culture. And punk's the same way. Punk was kind of like it was a derogatory term in a sense, right? It was kind of like an embracing. It's like, you punk, right?
Right, right.
But there's that DIY aspect to it that I don't think Jay ever dropped. And then as far as the story and the film, everybody did that for me because I didn't know if anybody was going to remember him as I did.
Oh, wow.
How do you know? And it was such a wonderful discovery that, I mean, I've said so often, like, if you're not Alfred Hitchcock or, don't be in your own movie, right? And so, like, I think I'm in it for about 20 seconds because everybody else did all the work, and it I don't know, it's pretty fun.
I've been riding with the ghost. I've been doing whatever he told me. I've been looking door to door to see if there was someone who'd hold me. Never met a single.
I made a change.
Well, you said something that struck a chord with me that we had talked about. And it's because it's basically the theme of your movie and the scope of your movie is Jason's childhood through around 97, 98. And you are showing a side of Jason that I don't think a lot of people have seen, because there's not a lot of written about his younger, other than he, you know, had trinkets and those types of things. But there's not a lot of interviews with his family. There's not a lot of interviews with his bandmates from high school, not a lot of footage from a lot of those early things. So you're bringing to light this first part of his story to hopefully then get that out there so there can be future parts of the story told, because it's an important story, but you have to start somewhere. And it's good, I think, to start with that first part to get to know the true Jason that people that knew and loved him knew.
Yeah. And, you know, let's just look at Americans' perception of America, not yet the rest of the world. Like, there's New York, there's LA, and then there's some stuff in between, right?
Right.
So we're automatically, being from Lorain, Ohio, being in the Midwest, having ties to Appalachia, like, you got an underdog story off the rip. Right? Yeah. And it's, I had a concern that people would think this film is trying to dispel their own interpretation of Jason, and that couldn't be further from the truth. It just seems to me, I've often described Jay as like a 20-sided die in Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like, there are all these facets to this thing, and I think that there really only maybe half of them have even been examined. Probably fewer, right? Because if someone latches on to, like, strictly, this is what Jason Molina is to me and nothing else, like, he's too complex of a person to put in a box. And so I'd like to see this. I mean, you figure it out. That's an invitation, right? Because as a person and through his music, is for as much as people connect with it, he's not doing the work for you. He's just opening a door, and then you're going to go take that adventure however you decide to take it, because you've got to interpret it. And so I'm just trying to offer some more clues into that, you know.
In some ways in his career, he actually was working against himself in trying to get his work out. You know, one example, he had a box set called Sojourner that is a 4-CD box set that he released in 2007 when no one was buying CDs, number one, and no one was buying a 4-CD box set that came in a wooden box with a little medallion on the inside that was basically, you know, Jason. This was my treasure that I'm presenting to you is what he presented to his fans. Now buried inside there are two incredible albums that are not known as them being themselves albums. They're known to be part of the Sojourner box set. And when Tommy and I were talking, he didn't even realize that he had sent me a playlist that had back-to-back tracks on one of the albums because he knew them from two separate albums. So Jason would make this incredible art and sometimes almost like stab himself in the back or make it more difficult for everybody else, but it was probably by design to have people like you said figure it out. He's not going to make it easy. He's going to give you the stuff, but he's not going to make it easy for you to be on that journey with him. But when you are on the journey, you finish the journey, you continue on the journey, it's all worth it at the end.
Sight read
those slangy lips. I could sight read those hips. And anyway, out loud she says, "Hey, sucker. Are you lonely?" Well, that's all right. You don't have to.
Well, thank you very much, Scott and Tommy. And we'll have more from this interview coming up for you tomorrow. So you want to make sure to listen to that. And you can find out about this film and help promote it and learn all about it if you go to the website yffio.com. Yffio.com. We will close now with a little more music from Jason Molina / Songs Ohio / Magnolia Electric Company / Everything Jason Does. And we will talk to you guys with another part of the interview tomorrow.
That's always where you're from is always going to be with you.